Welcome to Local Exposure, a podcast about music and the greater Cincinnati scene. I'm Jim Nolan. Thanks for listening. Adam Nice, along with George Marshall Jenkins and Nick Hill, are keeping the sound of the 90s alive with their band AM Nice and their new album, End of an Era. I got to speak with Adam about the band's history, their recent tour, their label, and about the collaborative effort involved in the record-making process. AM Nice, a melodic punk band, has a new album coming out called End of an Era. They recently completed a brief tour, and they're planning their album release party. Here to tell me more about the band, the album, the tour, and possibly some secrets of the universe is Adam Nice, lead guitar and vocalist from AM Nice. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Well, your name is on the band, so
yeah, unfortunately,
you're kind of on the line here. Tell me some history of the band, how it formed, and what it's
sure.
all about.
That name's sort of part of it. I was bandless for a while, playing by myself, so I was using my initials, and then I got with George first, George and this guy Josh, and then eventually Nick, and they didn't want to change it. They refused to change it. I had several band names, all of which they hated and refused. And I think really just to make fun of me and give me a hard time, they kept the band name. You know, they wanted insisted on keeping the band name as AM Nice. So it started off just me doing acoustic guitar and singing and a lot of finger picking and things like that. And I recorded some songs that way, like with a nylon string guitar. But once I got with them, I sort of made kind of punk versions of those same songs, you know. So that's kind of a key to the songwriting, is they always start really acoustic and a lot of finger picking, all these different chords. Then I kind of give them to them and sort
they
of
dirty
them,
it up.
Yeah, put them to the rock machine.
And this album, End of an Era, is there a reason why it's called End of an Era? Is there a message behind all this?
Well, that's a song title. So there's a song called End of an Era. The songs generally, you know, these songs are, it's sort of a dark kind of group of songs that really wasn't done on purpose. That just sort of tends to be the material we had that we all knew, we felt comfortable recording. And there's sort of this repeated theme of, you know, kind of going through these hardships and trying to come out okay and, you know, putting sort of chapters of your life sort of behind and trying to go on to the next, hopefully better thing. And so that theme is sort of repeated throughout the album through some of the lyrics and trying to come up with a title, we just went with that.
So there's no implication of this is the last album, the band's breaking
up,
nothing
all.
Like that?
No, not at all.
Okay,
no.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Tell me about your personal background. How did you get into music? Where did you start playing?
I started playing, you know, as a kid. I played, you know, did the piano lessons thing and then shared a guitar with a buddy that lived on my street. We would pass this guitar back and forth and eventually got my own when I was, I think, 13. And always had cool parents that listened to good music. So it was pretty easy to, you know, get exposed to lots of good music. And then it just went from there, met other musicians, and you know, in middle school, started trying to write your own songs and everything. I moved around a little bit, lived in Little Rock, lived in Long Island, lived in Indiana, came back to Ohio. So along the way, just always met different musicians to play with. But it was always, started off, you know, just as a guitar player, you're always just listening to other good guitar players. So it's just classic rock stuff, blues stuff, jazz stuff. And then, but as a teenager, quickly found, you know, punk music generally and local music. And that kind of set me on a certain path.
Well, this band has a distinctive 90s throwback kind of sound to it. How much of that is on purpose, and how much of that is just because that's how you grew up and that's how
right.
music sounds to you?
It's probably the latter. I probably just naturally write that way. You know, when I started learning to write my own songs, that's sort of the music I was listening to. I think we know that about ourselves, that we have that sound, probably just because of our age. Nick is the youngest. I don't know how he might be 32 or something like that, or 30, I don't know. He's, and George and I are about 37, 38. But so some of that is just because of that's our age, you know. But I think we know that about ourselves. So then we try to sort of take it there and sort of follow that sound, You know?
So you're not ashamed of it. It's not a burden to you. It's not an albatross around your neck. You're kind of embracing it.
Yeah, we try to say this is what comes out naturally. This is what we sound like. So let's try to exploit it and just do it.
I want to play a track from the upcoming album. This is called, well, it's the title track, End of an Era, from the album End of an Era by A.M. Nice. Recently finished sort of a mini tour. You went to New Jersey, you went to the DC area and also North Carolina. Mm-hmm. How was that?
It was good. It was fun. It was just a long weekend, which we try to do two or three times a year. We all have day jobs. It's hard for us to leave for, you know, a week or two at a time. So we try to put together these long weekends throughout the year and just try to have as much fun as we can with it, try to keep it low pressure. It was a lot of fun. We played with some great bands in New Jersey. We played with this band called Ramona that we're all fans of now, and this band called Erotic Novels that we like a lot. And they're both based around Philadelphia or New Brunswick, respectively. And it was a fun venue. We played this place called the Mill Hill Basement. It's a little basement bar. DC, we were sort of the odd man out. We played with all these really heavy, kind of hardcore metal bands, but they were really welcoming of us. And we played with our friends, Knife of the Symphony from Cincinnati. And that was at a VFW hall, which was fun. You know, I remember as a teenager, we would do that, rent out a Legion Hall or VFW Hall or something like that, Civic Center, and try to throw your own show. And that was sort of what that was, a DIY spot. Played with a band called Forges there that we liked a lot. And they kind of had a 90s kind of emo sound too, so we kind of connected with them. Durham was great. We did this festival called PRF South. We played, it was a 3-day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We played first on Saturday. And being the first band at a festival, I mean, there was a lot of people there. I mean, people showed up on time to see this thing get kicked off. And that was a lot of fun. It was at a venue called The Pinhook in Durham. And then we went out to Asheville in North Carolina. Also, we played two shows in one day. That venue was perfectly Asheville. It was part antique shop, part bar, part like punk venue. And they also do weddings there.
Well, of course they do.
Yeah, you could sum up Asheville sort of in that venue. We got along well. Nobody got any fights. Nobody did anything stupid.
That's because you're all 35
plus. That's because we're so mature. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. You know, just try to get the new record out there and have some fun.
And you mentioned the festival crowds actually showed up on time. Mm-hmm. Everything kind of went according to schedule. That's rare.
Right. Yeah. And this was a special group. We were newcomers to this group, this PRF group. Our friends in Knife the Symphony and other bands we've played with over the years, they do these things. There'll be one in Chicago, one in Louisville. I think there's one on the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And it's sort of the same group of bands, and they schedule these festivals, and people fly in and travel. And I was really blown away by the amount of support. You know, everybody seemed to really be supportive of each other and get along well. It was fun.
And you mentioned playing with Knife the Symphony. Mm-hmm. The drummer from Knife the Symphony is basically the person behind Freytree Records.
Right.
This album is released on Freytree?
Yes, this album's on Freytree, and it's Jerry Durr, drummer of Knife the Symphony. So yeah, he kind of hooked us up with that particular show, but it's on Freytree. We're happy to be on Freytree. You know, it's great for us working with someone that we're friends with and someone who kind of get behind us and help us make connections for shows or whatever it may be, and pitch in on trying to get the record out there, or anything from layout ideas to recording ideas. And it's sort of a team effort.
Not only is Jerry a great guy, but I also think it's also just frankly beneficial to have someone just down the road.
Sure.
If you need to be in contact for whatever reason, like you said, whether it's production or artwork or whatever needs to be done, there is that immediate connection.
Yeah, and this whole, I mean, there's no like business model to it. It's just, you know, everyone's doing it. I mean, this whole record, we sort of talk about, we recorded it at a friend's basement, Wesley Pence's house, Colonel Pence, in his basement. We just got together, we would barbecue, hang out, record some tracks or mix a little. We spent months doing it because we were just going at our own pace. But he did that not out of some business arrangement, out of like, I don't know, his own stupidity or the goodness of his heart. I mean, it was mastered by Mike Montgomery, who's a friend, and he just did it for next to nothing. The packaging was done by our friend James Burns from Swear Jar. He hand screen printed all the packaging and is doing all that kind of manufacturing of the packaging. We have friends making videos. I mean, so we get all the support that you would have if you were, you know, on some bigger record label, just because we know all these people that like to make things and do things. And I don't know why they're doing it. I mean, just because they enjoy to do it, but we get to kind of have the benefit of it. So we're really thankful for all the help from all of our buddies.
The fact that you recorded it over such a long span of time, do you think that affected the final outcome of the album?
No, I don't. I mean, it was all tracked basically. And we went over there just to kind of sound check some stuff and ended up recording all the songs. And then we went back and, again, hang out, and we might say, hey, let's do some tambourine tonight, or just do like a noise track tonight. We get together in another couple of weeks and say, okay, let's do the vocals, and we did that over a couple of days. But, you know, the bulk of it was all tracked in one weekend.
The final product is pretty much put together. You have an album release party coming May 4th at Southgate House.
Yeah, we're doing it at Southgate House. It's one of our, you know, favorite venues to play. We're playing in the small room there, which we like a lot. And this band called the Worthmores are going to play with us. They're like a pop punk band. Wes's band, Red Skylark, they're going to play. Also, New Third Worlds, they will play. So Red Skylark, they're sort of, I don't know, a college rock band, kind of a Guided by Voices sort of sound. And then New Third Worlds, they're sort of a classic kind of punk ska sound. And then we'll play. So it'll be four bands. It's a free show. It's May 4th. So if you're into Star Wars, you can make Star Wars jokes that day.
That's right.
And it's free, free show. Music should start around 9:30 and should be fun. But, you know, the bands in the lineup are just like other bands we're friends with that we just, you know, want to spend time with and want to hear their bands.
On our way out, I wanted to let you pick whatever track we listen to next off the new album. What would you like to listen to?
Sure. How about there's a song on there called Mind Right. We have a video coming out for that song that our friends Shane Chaney, again from Swear Jar, and David Cornelius, they have a little film production company called Argo One Productions, and they're making a pretty cool video around that song, and it's fairly radio friendly.
Thank you again for coming by. Yeah, I really appreciate you taking time to speak with me.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
End of an Era by A.M. Nice will be available May 4th from Freight Tree Records. You can find links to more information about the album, the band, and their upcoming shows at wvxu.org/lx. Local Exposure is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio and 91.7 WVXU. Today's episode was recorded by Josh Elstro and produced by me, Jim Nolan. The intro music in this episode was by Scott Holmes and is available from the Free Music Archive at freemusicarchive.org. You can find more great local music stories when you subscribe to Local Exposure at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you'd like to leave a comment or a review on iTunes, that can help others find us too. A dream without a fear. Until next time.